Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld arrived in South Korea today as part of a six-day Asian tour. Rumsfeld has already encountered disappointments on the trip. On Thursday, Japan decided to delay deployment of troops to Iraq, and days before Rumsfeld's arrival, the South Korean government opted to send no more than 3,000 troops. Washington had hoped for 10,000. James Lilly is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He was U.S. ambassador to South Korea from 1986. To 1989, and then served as ambassador to China until 1991. Ambassador Lilly joins us from his home in Washington. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Leanne.
What can you tell us about why the South Koreans decided to limit their troop deployment, and why make the announcement just before Rumsfeld even arrived in the country?
Well, I think they had a lot of public pressure from very vocal groups to limit this, and it got into the press and media and demonstrations, and the president fashions himself a populist, so he was responding to this in a certain extent. And I think also the Koreans get very nervous when they move troops outside of South Korea, when they have a million-man North Korean army facing them across the DMZ. Why they picked this time to make the announcement, I can't say. I would say it's the usual government mismanagement or something. I mean, we aren't concerned about the fact that they're going to send 3,000 men. They've got 700 there now, support troops. If they send 3,000, that'll be just fine with, I'm sure, with the United States.
Mm. Would you say that then Japan and South Korea's reluctance to actually meet Washington's request is an isolated incident?
Oh, yes. I don't think this is something that will affect the relationship. My lord, many, many countries have had this problem, like Turkey, India, Pakistan, you name it. South Korea and Japan are good allies. We have troops in their countries which contribute to their own security, and they owe us one, and they're trying to do this. I think a much more important issue in their mind is the continuing presence and what kind of presence the American troops will have in South Korea, and we're already talking about major cuts.
The American presence now is 37,000 forces.
Yeah.
What kind of deployment is the Defense Secretary considering? What kind of reassignment of these?
Well, countries? I can only speculate on this, Leanne, but knowing how he thinks and what's needed in Korea, I get the impression that he's talking about four brigades of basically 5,000 men each deployed south of the Han River. That's away from the DMZ. He's going to pull the 2nd Infantry Division of 17,000 men off, because that is very dangerous, and it's dealing with an obsolete situation growing out of the Korean War. That doesn't belong anymore. Then he's going to move, and this is very important, the headquarters at Yongsan Base in downtown Seoul over to Osan Air Force Base. There's 7,000 people in that headquarters with probably 20,000 combat troops. You've got this huge overhead. And we're going to cut that very severely down to maybe 1,000 or 2,000 and move it out of downtown Seoul, because it's always been an irritant. And we've got to move out of there to a more less obtrusive location.
The Defense Secretary is also expected to work on a second round of discussions with North Korea about their nuclear weapons program. The first round ended in August. Not a lot of movement on either side. Do you think all six countries from the first round will be back for a second? And do you think the prospects for success are any better this time?
I would first of all say the fact that that first conference took place was a smashing success. You don't measure it in terms of these guys agreeing to something at the first meeting. Anybody that's dealt with the North Koreans know that's never going to happen. Now we're getting noises from the North Koreans that they're prepared to deal with the five nations. They are beginning to talk in terms of the linkage of economic support for North Korea with weapons of mass destruction reduction. And that's exactly the formula we're looking at. And we have actually said now, although we will not sign this treaty with them for obvious good reasons, we are prepared to give them an assurance of security, but we want the other five countries involved. And this is very important that we make this a regional issue. It is not an American issue to have nuclear weapons in North Korea. It's a China, Japan, South Korea, Russia issue. And I think we have to make it that, and they're beginning to accept that. I'm not saying they won't walk away from it. We've bargained with them for 50 years. They walk away, they throw a tantrum, they leave the room, they won't allow the Japanese in, they want to kick out an American negotiator. They play all sorts of endless games. And people will say it's a great setback. It's not. The trend is moving decidedly in the right direction.
James Lilly is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He was U.S. ambassador to South Korea from 1986 to 1989 and to China from 1989 to 1991. He spoke with us from his home in Washington. Ambassador Lilly, thank you for your time.
Well, thanks for inviting me.